If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard a big voice, man. Lopez, Reginald Atitula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on this Thursday. Masters still going. Someone else stepping up top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, Stephen Jaeger. Stephen Jaeger, 4 under, already made the turn, so he's in a good. He's in good shape. Aaron Ray, Joaquin Neiman, Scottie Scheffler already tied for second at 2 under, and we'll keep you updated, of course.
Definitely, really early is what's happening there at Augusta National.
Will Zalatoris, he's in third.
Not far. Yeah. Morikawa, not far either. So yeah, some of the names that you know and expects, Jordan Spieth, or as I like to call him, Michael Jordan Spieth, not too far there either. Also, all those guys, 1 under. All right. I kind of wanted to go through this experiment, right? We were looking at free agency, the free agency period, and how people have kind of handled it. And, you know, that was a conversation for CJ Stroud, not locally necessarily, but nationally was, is he having a sophomore slump or what have you? And we got a really, I think we got a pretty good rookie quarterback year last year in the NFL, right? When you talk about Jane Daniels, obviously won rookie of the year. Caleb Williams was pretty damn good. Even though the circumstances around him were rough. Bo Nix, I mean, that was well above
that was
what
a
I could
surprise.
Have expected. Yeah. I wrote him off. I'm going to be completely honest. I just thought he was older than the rest of the kids in college.
I thought the Broncos were stupid doing that. I'm like, what is y'all doing?
And apparently we're the ones that are stupid. And Sean Payton smarter than everybody, it seems. So because he had a good season. And then Drake May looks like he might be a real bona fide quarterback. And they went and paired Stephon Diggs with them to see what they can get out of them, right? So now let's do this, especially just, I mean, before the draft, and the draft is going to be important, especially for some of these teams. Like you look at the Patriots, that draft is going to matter a good amount. They might be able to add Drake May, a big-time offensive lineman to protect him. But before we get there, who's set up to have a sophomore slump or a sophomore jump? And so I'll start with the guy in who I imagine is probably the hardest to have a jump off of is Jane Daniels, who had, I mean, a phenomenal season. They go to the playoffs. Hell, they go to the conference championship game with a really well put together team around him, and his play was phenomenal. I don't think he ever really looked like a rookie in that season. Do you go slump or do you go jump?
Ooh, that's a jump all the way.
Really?
Yeah. I think
that's a
lot. He didn't even say push.
Yeah. Well, okay, so maybe they won't go to the conference final. I'm talking about his play.
No, of course. That's, of course, what we're talking about.
I'm talking about his play.
But his play was incredibly high for a rookie.
They're just equipping him, man. They're doing everything they possibly can.
It's because they went and got Laramie Tunsil, huh?
They got Tunsil. They got others. They're
He's like, they got Laramie Tunsil. It's nothing but up from here.
Yeah. No, look, the Commanders are doing everything they can. They're doing what we think and have seen the Texans try to do here.
Yeah.
And you got this, dude. Okay, let's go.
But, the thing that I'm ultimately bouncing back to is like, how much room do you have? Ultimately, that's the question I'm asking here. How much room does he have to continue to be
I'm sensing
better?
You think it might be a little step back.
man, development's not linear, and I think that you get to he was phenomenal. I think that you get to a point where teams take the offseason and have an opportunity to say, hey, how do we then make this more difficult on him? Does he get the CJ Stroud treatment where, all right, we believe so strongly in you? Because that was the comparison in his rookie year. Yes. Was, oh man, he's doing the CJ Stroud thing the year after CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud last year, teams decided, all right, no more of that fun stuff over the top. We're taking that away and we're making you do the really hard, like the things that we make really good quarterbacks do, we're making you do that. We saw that kind of hamper him in some ways. Obviously, the bigger hindrance was the offensive line. But I do wonder if that happens to where people are having a similar conversation that they had with CJ, even if they don't fully understand that, hey, some of this is circumstantial rather than him as a dude.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought about. I thought about CJ and his step. I don't want to call it a step back, but kind of a down year last year. But in the same sentence, I think they got a better offensive coordinator in Washington.
With Cliff Kingsbury?
Compared to what was Bobby Slowick. So maybe he won't take a big step back, but maybe he'd be a little more consistent.
I think what's helping him more so is they're really helping the defense. They've made some. Now, we can talk about Laremy Tunsil, but they've made some moves to bolster the defense. In other words, okay, now we know what we have, the offense. Like we mentioned, you know, Tunsil, but also they've added some other things. Obviously, the draft is about to happen, but they're focusing on the defense. So they're saying, we got a squad. Let's make sure it's a whole squad.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The first quarterback taken last year in the draft, Caleb Williams. Slump or jump?
It's got to be jump, doesn't it? Everything they're trying to do around him, too.
It does feel like it.
Yeah.
Because that's another circumstance where, Figgy, you talk about coordinator. Ooh, Shane Waldron, man.
Yeah.
Not really loving what they were doing last year. And it seems like you said, they ported in an entire interior of the offensive line. They're giving him more talent. Seems like they're going to really focus on. That's the objective of Ben Johnson coming in, is I'm going to make you the best version of yourself. That's why you hire that dude. So it does feel like if it is a slump, we got real questions about Caleb Williams. And so I'm leaning on jump for sure.
Yeah, and I think we do have some questions about Caleb Williams right now, but they're doing everything they can, including the head coach.
All right. Bo Nix.
That's a tough one to me.
Right?
That's a really tough one to me.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It gets to a tough place because it feels like they'd done a lot of like maxing out what the possibility was for him, but he rose to the standard. And I think one of the interesting things with a Sean Payton offense is that it really is built to be, if you can do these things that I ask you to do, your life should be good. Like he's asking tough things of his quarterbacks. Like we saw that with his tenure with Drew Brees. Like you need to be a certain type of quarterback to be able to, and not just a certain type of quarterback in your skill set, but a certain type of quarterback in your acumen in being able to understand what we're going for, being able to execute it to a certain degree. Bo Nix has demonstrated himself to at least be some level of that. Like, what happens if you can then not just be implementing this in year one, but what happens if you're starting to build upon this and maybe add some talent to what you're executing
the
here?
The talent would help. The more experience would help. But I think he's a lot closer to his ceiling than either of the first two that we talked
Agreed.
About. Right? So that's why I would, if I had to pick one or the other, I would say maybe a slump.
Okay.
Yeah, I would probably say a slump too. Mm-hmm. And I know I keep bringing it up every year, but that's a tough division, man. Mm-hmm.
It is.
So I can see him being on the downside a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Drake May.
Another tough one, but I think they're going to have a lot of resources.
You think this is tough?
Yeah, I think Well, I don't exactly. Do you know what Drake May even is at this point?
A big, strong quarterback who has some mobility and had no real talent around him, and now they're going to put talent around him.
And I draft feel like picks.
I'm fine, Diggs.
Mm-hmm. Buddy, I'm buying this stock.
Are you?
I think it's a jump here for Drake May, and maybe I'm just buying the hype, but it does seem like when we saw him play, like when the Texans went to New England early on in the season, it was like, okay, I think there's a little something here. And it just showed more and more as the season went along. In what, like, he is the rose that grows through the concrete, right? Like he looked pretty good in a circumstance that's not really advantageous for it. I think as you give him more fertile of a circumstance with the team, I think he's going to continue to produce there.
Well, they have the resources. They have the obviously a coach, and we'll see how they play it. I just don't know if I've seen enough yet. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the question that I wanted to ask is actually because those are the guys that were starters. Those were the four that starters. How do you feel about the two guys that were drafted last year that now are going to get real opportunities to do more? And that is Michael Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. I've liked a lot, since before he was drafted. But I do think it's asking a lot. And there are still some questions at the quarterback position there, or at least some pressure.
Really?
On the quarterback position there. There's some pressure for him to live up to being the guy, And I just don't trust the Falcons that much either.
Well, I mean, you can always so if you circle back to around to I don't trust the Falcons,
you're going to be right more often than not.
Yeah, it's like I get what you're doing there.
Yeah,
I it felt like the Falcons had so many like talented players in Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Drake London that they have not like they still have not utilized to the maximum potential. And one of the things that was tough with Kirk Cousins is that they had a lot of pressure on him. And so I'm interested to see what that looks like. I know it's not really a slump or jump perspective, but if I was going to be like more optimistic than pessimistic or more pessimistic than optimistic, I'm more optimistic on Michael Penix Jr.
I love him. I really love his game.
And more importantly,
I think they're asking a lot.
They seem to love him.
They seem to love him.
Like, of course.
To make that decision alone.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, that decision, the decision that you're talking about is to
go with him.
Have him go with him and not, sit Kirk Cousins or move on from Kirk Cousins. That one was actually not that tough of a decision considering how poorly Kirk Cousins looked or played, rather, and then the injury circumstance that maybe factored in or maybe didn't. Regardless, it didn't allow him to be useful for the team. That felt like an obvious, you got to go here to this place. But also, I mean, if they felt so strongly about Michael Penix Jr. that they got to a place where, like, we gave him big money to Kirk Cousins, but we see this dude and we think he's our
just
guy.
Better.
It feels like that's the one
drafting
that
him that early.
Yeah, 100%. And drafting him.
But the most interesting one to me is J.J. McCarthy.
Me too.
Because that was a Minnesota Vikings team that, one, Kevin O'Connell does a fantastic job scheming up offense, one. But you had Sam Darnold there who played well above what I think a lot of people believed his capabilities. Mm-hmm. But he showed a little, the pumpkin turned back a little bit to a pumpkin at the very end of the season. And he's no longer there. You decided not be the team that gave him big money. And you're going to go with your young guy. Are you optimistic, more optimistic or more pessimistic about now bringing in J.J. McCarthy? Mind you, a quarterback prospect that wasn't beloved when he was drafted as well. Like this was already a thing where people were kind of waiting and seeing, and now you're dropping him into a context of a Vikings team that has some higher expectations because of a 14-win season.
Keep in mind, they're also saying that he's not penciled in as the starter, even though that's total.
Correct.
You know what? I'm optimistic. I am optimistic. I mean, he's already set up, presuming there's not any big dropbacks, from other, key positions, namely the defense. Certainly the offensive line has to get better. I'm actually optimistic on J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. What does that mean? Is he going to have that type of start like Sam Darnold had? Probably not, as essentially a rookie. But I think he's going to have a really good year.
Funny enough, like I'm more optimistic, and it's not because of J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I was low on J.J. McCarthy coming out of Michigan. I am just like, yo, that coordinator looks like he can
do
this. He looks like he can do this in a real way.
No, that's the major part, man. Yeah. I feel like he could do something with anybody.
Yeah.
That's what if you can do some things. I do need to give Sam Darnold his respect. Like, he did play well in the system. He did the things that was necessary. I think J.J. McCarthy is capable of just like, hey, can you paint by numbers in the way that this coordinator will set up for you?
100%.
And you will be able to be fine. I'm not going to say that he's going to be great, but you'll be able to be fine. And I think that meets the standard of more optimistic than pessimistic. All right, a little bit of slump or jump here for the sophomore quarter. I want to revisit that maybe later once we see what the teams are looking like in training camp. But, yeah, I thought that was an interesting exercise to undertake. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just reminding you that today we're giving away a pair of tickets to see comedian Brian Regan at the Bayou Music Center on December 4th. That'll happen in the 1 p.m. hour that we'll give those away. So keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including another Masters update. But also, hey, are you really broken up about the name change on the building that the Astros play in? We can get you a little bit of memorabilia off of that. We'll tell you what's up with that next.